The 1994 Salt Lake Sunstone Symposium presents session number 264, Americanism and Mormonism in Austria and Germany, by Peter Wollauer.
And Mormonism in Austria and Germany. This paper was prepared by Peter Wollauer and will be presented by Horst Mostag. Horst will introduce himself and tell us a bit about the author as well.
As of 2 hours ago, I didn't know I was going to do this. So I don't think you want to know too much about me. The reader who was supposed to do this is ill, I understand. And for some reason, I'm doing this now in Austria as a mission. I'm now teaching German language and literature at the University of Calgary, and I travel there extensively so that I am familiar with Germany and Austria in its many facets. Mostag is how we would say it in English, which is close to Maytag, Mostag otherwise in German. We might get into some of those questions later, I suppose. When I start to read here, and there are preliminary remarks, this, of course, is in the first person, but this refers to Peter Möllauer, whom I really don't know, but the paper comes from Neustadt, and that is only a few kilometers away from my hometown in Germany, which is Kiel. To understand my position, I want to say a few words about myself first. I was born in 1952 in Innsbruck, Austria, known for the Winter Olympics 1964 and 1976. I was raised Catholic, but not too religious. I felt attracted to science and lost my faith. I studied chemistry at the University in Innsbruck and regained my faith through science. I wanted to prove missionaries false, but to the contrary, was baptized in 1974. I fulfilled a mission in northern Germany from 1977 to 1979 and have served in several callings since as branch president, elders quorum president, branch mission leader, high counselor. I'm very interested in history and politics. I wrote my thoughts in English, but after having read through them through my paper, I recognized that the style really is not very good. The German language shows in every sentence, but I have no time to smoothen it out. Parenthetically, I might just mention, in the quick reading I had before, I've tried to take some of those Germanisms out, but there are still quite a few in there. I could not make a total stylistic change here. I hope to add some new viewpoints and thoughts to your knowledge. I would be glad to receive your remarks because I am not able to be with you for a fruitful discussion. Let's therefore have a fruitful exchange of letters. His address is on here. Introduction. In Europe, quite often the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is called an American church. It is a fact that the church was founded in the United States, and it is a fact that the way of leading it is colored by the American way of life. I am sure everything of eternal importance is revealed by the Lord and can by no ways be connected with any national tradition. But there are some ways of doing things that are not of eternal importance. These things are influenced by the cultural and historical background of those who work out policies and make decisions because the Lord agrees in the way it is decided by his servants. In this essay, a member of Austrian origin and of experience in Germany wants to show how the American tradition influenced and still influences our church life in the German-speaking countries. Besides, it is interesting to see which problems the church had to face because it was considered an American movement by non-members of influence and sometimes by the masses. The position of the United States. In 19th century Germany and Austria, one reason of the sometimes violent rejection of the missionaries by the rulers was caused by diffuse fears that those Americans would infect the subjects in Europe with American liberal ideas of democracy and socialism. At that time, the word constitution was a horror word, for the rulers and German officials identified the preachers of the gospel with the American way of life. And this American life was considered to overthrow the established structures that had been installed according to God's will, as was the general philosophy. In Europe, at the beginning of the 19th century, most exponents of the big churches and most rulers were convinced that every king or duke was in his office by God's will, called by God, and invested with power, wisdom, and responsibility towards their subjects. They felt the need to protect them against apostate religion as well as against insane forms of government. Democracy they considered as insane because not a wise ruler who got his wisdom from heaven decided over the fate of the people, but the desires and appetites of the masses, who, in their opinion, are unable to decide wisely for their future benefit. Mormonism they considered as apostate and abominable. So some states, especially Prussia and Austria, try to suffocate the word of the gospel by imprisoning and expelling the American missionaries and by prohibiting LDS worship for their own citizens. Official persecution by the different states ended by the end of World War I. The old structures were broken up, the Austrian and the German emperors had to leave their respective countries, and democracies were installed. The position of the churches. In Austria and some German states, the Catholic Church was the state religion, tolerating only the Lutherans and the Jews to a certain degree. In other states, the Lutheran Church was the state religion, and Catholics and Jews tolerated. All other churches had a very hard time, changing in degree from suppression, from time to time, and from state to state, and from religion to religion. This had nothing to do with the American origin of the LDS Church. All others had troubles as well. These hard times, combined with a commandment to gather in Zion, led to the emigration of most of the members who were converted during that time. Therefore, a German or Austrian Mormon tradition did not grow. The members of the church in Central Europe never were enough in number to be spoken of as a separate people. In Austria and Germany, many traditions are closely connected with the established church. Especially in the rural areas of Austria and Bavaria, social life still nowadays is influenced by the Catholic Church. At every event of the community, at anniversaries, opening of new buildings or institutions like libraries, museums, bridges, and so on, a Catholic minister takes part. At the beginning of the school year and at the end, there's a mass in the Catholic Church for the teachers and for the students. Many of these celebrations take place on Sundays, and Latter-day Saints don't take part because of their own worship and their understanding of the Sabbath. This understanding of the Sabbath comes from the Puritan interpretation of the Sabbath, promoted by the early leaders of the Church who came from Puritan tradition. So the membership of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints caused a separation from usual social life and from many loved traditions of the fathers, of the forefathers, because they are closely and inseparably connected with the ceremonies and teachings of the Catholic Church. The problem was not so strong with the Lutheran Church because this church is filled with traditions in a lesser degree. 1918 to 1939. During this time of diminished stress, immigration of the saints decreased and the branches grew, some of them to a membership of 500. How great the American influence was depended on the circumstances. Of course, the American missionaries brought in their sports like basketball and their food like root beer and brownies. Youth learned to dance square dance, but mainly in the large branches. The youth in the smaller branches usually chose recreation of traditional German manner if there was time for it. Now, there could be spoken of Mormon people in the areas with 500 to 1,000 members within a day's travel distance. The Mormon tradition and culture that started to bloom suddenly was uprooted by World War II. One important part of culture that was imported from America were the hymns. Most of them were translations from the American hymn book. But the German hymn book never was a transcription of the American hymn book. There are some songs omitted, especially American patriotic songs. They are not exchanged against German patriotic songs. They are just omitted. In the German feeling, patriotism has nothing to do with religion. There are some old German and Austrian songs to be found some of them very popular in America as well, like Silent Night or A Mighty Fortress. Few songs were written or composed by German members. Some of them are only to be found in the German hymn book, but some of them are in the American hymn book as well. So there is a certain exchange of music, but the mainstream going from the United States to Germany. During the time of the Nazi regime, the church was not prohibited, only some songs that sounded Jewish, such as Hope of Israel or Beautiful Zion Built Above. American missionaries worked in Germany until 1938. 1939 to 1945. With World War II, the Americans in 1941 officially became enemies, and contact with church headquarters or the coming of the American missionaries was no longer possible. The saints had to serve in the German army, and there was no time for culture. More and more time was concentrated to support life itself. Many areas of a high Mormon population were in the eastern parts of Germany. There the Germans were driven out. Many of them lost their faith because they were without their brothers and sisters. Many others started a new life in the western part of Germany, becoming branch presidents, bishops, patriarchs, and so forth. Many of them emigrated to the United States and Canada, obviously. A Mormon culture was not found anymore and had to be created again. The end of the World War found many members uprooted in areas far away from home, destitute and hopeless. There was certain American influence during the war. Many German soldiers became American prisoners of war and had contact with Americans in the States when they worked in factories and on farms. Many hearts were softened by the treatment they got from the American forces and by the American population. During my mission in northern Germany, 1977 to 1979, we met several people who spoke of their time as prisoners of war with much respect, even love, for their American enemies. Some of the prisoners of war directly came in contact with members of the church and learned that the Mormons are different from the usual promoted propaganda. 1945 to 1968. Relief by the U.S. forces, relief by the LDS Church. In 1945, with end of the war, victorious Americans were welcomed as liberators from tyranny. The American army brought in plenty of food and many riches. The American forces consisted to some degree of Latter-day Saints. In war-torn Europe, America seemed to be the land of milk and honey. Some of the American riches reached Germans and Austrians. Many organizations in the United States sent help to starving Europe in form of packages of food and clothing. The church organized help for the starving members, who by hundreds lived in refugee camps, driven from their homes in the East, or who suffered barely sheltered in the bombed cities. Not only members received help from the church, but members first. Very soon, many people recognized this and wanted to be fed by the church. So many lost sheep found their way back to the physically feeding church. Many others were baptized because they wanted food. In this time, the expression Konservendosen Mormonen, canned Mormons, was created. Most of the people who were baptized because of their physical hunger were not hungry enough spiritually and left the church as soon as they did not starve anymore. In another way, the American forces contributed to the growth of the church in Europe. For instance, Salzburg, Austria. This city was the American headquarters for Austria from 1945 till the end of the occupation in 1955. The occupation there referring to the Soviet occupation. Many Americans who served there were often side by side with Austrian civil employees, were members of the church. The first branch house in Salzburg was built because of the many American members there, and some Austrians were baptized because of the example of their American co-workers. Emigration. The rich American army, bringing in an abundance of goods and food and hard currency, produced a picture of the United States in the heads of the poor and poorly equipped people in Austria and Germany that was not realistic. America, the land of infinite chances and riches. Hollywood reinforced this by its movies shown throughout Europe. So many young people, especially people who had lost their home country in the East, developed a strong desire to emigrate to the United States. Many girls tried to marry an American soldier. Many others tried to find other ways to come to the United States legally. So in the first half of the 50s, a strong wave of emigration from Germany and Austria started, and members of the church strongly took part. During this time, branches shrank to 20% of their former membership, losing some of the strongest, those who had been in leadership positions. So again, the units of the church were driven back to the necessity to simply survive. With 10 to 20 members in a branch, at the next unit of the church some distance away, that was not a good position for cultural life in the church. Many who had ideas could not realize them because they were engaged in more important church callings. The American example. German and Austrian youth followed the American example in many ways. Many American habits were introduced by the armed forces and with their help. Chewing gum, rock and roll, jeans, Coca-Cola. This was a general movement. To be American was in, and so were American movies. In 1947, the missionaries came back to Germany. Because of the general friendly atmosphere toward Americans, it was easy to contact people. Two ways to contact young people were English lessons and basketball lessons taught by the elders. A common door approach from this time: we are American students and want to tell you about Jesus Christ. Many people were socially converted, but some of them never were spiritually converted. When I talked to them, to some of them, 10 to 20 years after their baptism, they sentimentally remember the social events, the brotherhood they experienced, but they do not talk about spiritual experiences because they never had them or they had forgotten them. In the beginning, the German and Austrian saints were taught by American leaders, by missionaries, how to be a branch president, a relief society president, or primary president was taught by elders and sisters by example. Of course, they brought their own cultural background with them and not much knowledge about the German culture. So Old MacDonald Had a Farm is quite popular among primary children, but traditional German songs and games are very scarce in German and Austrian primaries. Many local leaders forgot that the gospel is essential and not the American way to teach it. Because Americans brought the gospel, they wrapped it in an American package. Many local leaders took the wrapping for the essential and did not dare to find their own ways. Many others just took the American help because they had not time and energy to fulfill their many callings and duties, and additionally to find their own way to live and to teach the gospel. Political influence. Because Americans were the occupants in many parts of Germany and Austria, they had a strong influence in politics and in the media that was prevalent in newspapers, radio, and the weekly changing news and movies. Television was introduced in Germany in 1954 and in Austria in 1955. Whenever there were members of the church in official functions in Germany or Austria, they did whatever they could to strengthen the position of the church in these countries. So the official recognition of the church by the Austrian government is a side product of the negotiations guaranteeing full sovereignty to Austria that were completed in 1955. So since 1955, the church is officially recognized by the Austrian government. And from this time on, it has the theoretical right to give out school marks for the subject religious education, and the right to enter hospitals and prisons as ministers and other rights. Because the recognition happened by pressure of Americans, this did not mean very much till an Austrian of high reputation and with much feeling for Austrian bureaucracy made it workable and accessible in the 1970s. Some history. Because of the lack of knowledge concerning their local Mormon heritage, most converts admiringly looked to the American Mormon heritage of the pioneers. Most of them were European emigrants, but their descendants are American, and the American members have to be grateful for the sacrifices of the people who endured so many hardships, crossing the plains and cultivating the West, being misunderstood and persecuted. Of course, they play an important role for the spreading of the gospel in Europe as well, because they established strength in the mountains. They educated their sons to be fruitful faithful missionaries, and we in Austria and Germany are very grateful for their work. But there are many others barely recognized, those whose faithfulness and sacrifices for us in Germany and Austria are at least as important as the pioneers in Germany, in America. Those are our own pioneers, the people who kept the light of the gospel burning through persecution, poverty, and war. The faithful priesthood holders who served as branch and district presidents, feeding the poor after World War II, carrying food on their own back to them. Those are the people who constituted branches of 5 to 10 active members and worked hard in home teaching and with their fasting and praying, with their contacts to media and so forth. Those are our own pioneers here in the middle of Europe. For years, the only member family in a community who suffered from loneliness and the need to rely on the strength of the Lord and on their own strength. I want to remind us of the stalwart members in the former German Democratic Republic. Once I saw the branch president of Schwerin. He visited with his brother before he traveled to the Swiss temple. He had tears in his eyes because he could not be sealed to his beloved wife. She was not granted a permit to leave the country. This is under the East German regime. At that time, only retired people were allowed to leave the country for traveling, and his wife was not yet retired. There are many stories to be told about suppression and faithful members quietly opposing it. There are many stories of faith and miracles, of conversions and spiritual strength. The people living through the Nazi regime and the communistic time in the eastern part, the people surviving World War II because they listened to the still small voice, they provide enough homemade spiritual experience. It is not necessary to look to America for miracles. We have a plethora of them in our own backyard. We are not very familiar with the stories of these pioneers because not very much has been published about them. Usually we know about our local pioneer, but sometimes not even so much about him because we don't ask him about his life. One of the declared purposes of OHG, which is the Orsenheide-Gesellschaft, in other words, Orsenheide Society, is the conservation of the strengthening experiences made in our own countries. There is not much time left. Many of our pioneers are in their 80s now. Many of them have already passed on. Because of this lack, we ignore the local pioneers and adopt the American ones. The American pioneers seem to be more interesting because they lived in the so-called Wild West. For many people in Austria and Germany, a country and a society of fascination and attraction. Especially this interest was kindled in young people by a German author named Karl May, who lived from 1842 to 1912, whose heroic stories from the Wild West have been read by generations of youth. On the other hand, school taught about the local history, and very often this caused boredom about the subject. No wonder that the young people preferred to direct their attention toward the Wild West and in the church toward the pioneers in America. Vietnam. After doubts about the integrity and the high moral standard of the United States had crept into the heads of the people, the war in Vietnam showed that Americans can be as cruel and as cynical as other peoples. In Europe, a time of anti-Americanism began. Many people rejected everything from America, especially philosophies and ideas. So the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was not investigated by many because it was American. In this time, a strong pacifistic anti-patriotic movement was established in Germany. Many young people rejected service in the army and looked very cynically at the organization called the state. There was a growing gap between their way of looking at things and the patriotism and militarism of Americans. This led to rejection of the gospel message by many young people, saying, those who support the war in Vietnam or any army cannot be a real disciple of Christ. Here, two standpoints, both grown out of the respective experiences of the peoples, caused controversies, mainly between missionaries and non-members, to a lesser degree among the members themselves. The peace movement grew in America as well, but in Austria and Germany, and in connection with the church, it appeared as a German-American problem. Church headquarters in Germany. The establishment of European headquarters in Frankfurt, Germany, created a new way of fruitful exchange and of conflicts. In administration in Frankfurt, members from America and from different European nations worked together. Now, as there are other administration centers in Europe, the European diversity shrank in Frankfurt. The area office is organized according to American traditions of business and administration. This is different from the German way. Many conflicts grow out from the different background concerning social security and from the differences of American and German laws concerning beginning and end of a contract. In Germany, everything is regulated by law, and the church, as an American employer, sometimes makes mistakes that cause trouble. The other kind of trouble comes not from the American, but from the German side. Americans are able to distinguish clearly between office and person. Germans tend to unify office and person. This has a clear historical background. America has a long tradition of democracy. That means all offices in the community are offices for a limited time. So the different offices wander from person to person several times during the lifetime of a person. So everybody has the deeply rooted experience of difference of office and person. In Europe, we have a tradition of office for a lifetime, or at least until retirement. With the new democracies, changes are taking place, but by no ways in such a degree as is common in the United States. So changes of office during a lifetime have been and still are rare. Europeans have an experience of unity and office and person. Now in church administration, this leads to an intermingling of church calling and of church job. This is easily done because calling and job have a connection, the church. This problem sometimes leads to decisions on the job level that cause bad feelings. Many working there are not active in the church anymore. German missionaries. The best way for a German or Austrian member to experience Americanism is to be called on a mission. To be on a mission still means to dive into American way of life, no matter in which country. The larger part of the missionaries still is American, so most of the time a German missionary will have an American companion. So he lives together with America 24 hours a day for 2 years. The exposition of the German to America in this way is greater than the exposition of his companion to Germany, because Americans most of the time have American companions because there are more of them in the mission field. As a missionary, I was confronted with football and baseball, with high school and college, with root beer and peanut butter, with brownies and homemade candies, with U.S. forces and U.S. patriotism. That does not mean that we talked all the time about the American way of life, but sometimes, by living with Americans, I got insight enabling me to feel America. This kind of understanding took place on an emotional and not so much on an intellectual level. So during my mission in Germany, I learned more about the American way of life than during my 3-month vacation in the States. I think this is of high value because it helps us to overcome prejudice and to understand each other much better. On a mission, not only the ordinary American way of life is shown, but specific Mormon traditions as well. Most German and Austrian missionaries are first or second generation in the church, but many from the States are from families who are members for more than a century. So on mission, I got acquainted with Mormon traditions, but American Mormon traditions, mainly growing out from the old Protestant heritage where most converts of the first years were rooted in. The way of family prayer, scripture study, and so forth is uncommon to Catholics, who mainly constitute Austria, southern and western Germany. So on my mission, I was introduced to a possibility how to practice them, these important commandments, but with an American touch. Of course, this works the other way too. The American companion learns much about the German way of thinking, and by working with his investigators, he has another door to understand the German way of life. It is not by chance that many returned missionaries are sent to their former mission field by their company. Not only the knowledge of the language is helpful, but the improved understanding of the culture as well. The value of the emotional factor in addition to the intellectual has to be considered of high value, not only in business, but especially in diplomatics. American mission presidents in Germany. For a long time, missionary work in Germany was very slow. It starts to improve now. One reason I can see is the lack of contribution of most members in the area. This was caused by the direct transfer of American ways to contact people to Germany by American mission presidents. For decades, they overlooked the different way of life, the different social traditions in Germany and the United States. Why did this happen, especially in Europe? The culture in the United States was formed by immigrants from Europe, mostly from Germanic Europe. Example, Great Britain, Scandinavia, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Romanic and Slavic immigrants coming later. So everybody expects similarity, that not only the origin. There are similarities, but Europeans and Americans alike tend to forget that not only the origin, but the circumstances of life form habits, traditions, and ways of life. The circumstances in the United States were and still are very different from the circumstances in Europe. There are profound differences in the political way to accomplish goals, in social life, in school systems, in handling things in everyday life, and so forth. So, because of the similarities, people don't see the differences. Europe and America, again and again, are compared to each other, but it is not possible to compare different cultures. Nobody would try to compare Chinese and American culture, because here the differences are so obvious. For an American mission president in Hong Kong, it is obvious that he has to look for contacting methods that fit into the Chinese culture. An American mission president in Europe brings in American methods because, for him, the differences in culture seem minimal and not crucial, especially in a Germanic country like Germany. This assumption is erroneous, but widely worked the other way as well. The members try to adopt the American methods because intellectually they don't see the lack of these methods, but emotionally they don't like them. The consequence are failure and frustration. As long as we followed the suggestion to do it in an American way, our success to lead people to get acquainted with the gospel were very slow, and we gave in, frustrated by this low success. Now, as more mission presidents are from Germany, more stakes are created, and the leadership in stakes and wards is emancipated from the American leaders, we are experiencing more success in our missionary work. That does not mean that we ignore the counsel and suggestions of the general authorities, but it does mean that we feel free to find our way, our German and Austrian way, to put these suggestions into practice. Because mission presidents from America for many years were the authorities in Germany and Austria, many local leaders and members take them as perfect examples, what for sure they are not. Mission presidents bring in their opinion and cultural background where they are not guided by the Spirit, and they are not guided by the Spirit in all things. So church life tended to have an American background, as it was interpreted by the local leaders who suppressed local traditions. Printed matter, media, and art. The church produces many excellent manuals and videos to support instruction within the church and the work of the missionaries. All the material is produced in America and by Americans. So most of the examples come from American life with its specific customs and circumstances and in American style. This situation is not ideal. The videos intellectually bring the message, but emotionally there's a lack of identification. If there are shown events in high school, problems with dating, a teaching moment in the desert, and so forth, the young people are not able to feel the situation because the school system is very different, the tradition of dating is very different, and there is no desert in Germany. It is the same with examples and manuals. They mostly are selected from American environment. There are examples from other cultures, but usually they are few. Of course, every teacher is free to select his or her own examples that come from their own cultural environment. Art, especially painting, is a real problem. The style of Arnold Freiberg, with his muscle-packed men and heavy colors, is not at all appreciated in Germany. Some years ago, his illustrations were used in the German edition of the Book of Mormon. I'm glad they are not anymore, because for some people, they hindered a study of the book, saying that no serious book can be behind art of such a low level. These people forget that it is not art of low level, but out of a non-European feeling and tradition. The problem with art we have, too, with the illustration materials and manuals, but of lesser importance. The paintings usually are done by Americans, or at least selected by Americans, who tend to very colorful, manneristic presentations. Europeans usually prefer subtle colors and impressionistic or expressionistic presentations. Minerva Teichert is an artist who fits in the European view of art. In the same way, Germans have problems with the artistic form of expression in videos, though in the past few years, some videos have been created that fit very well into European tradition and artistic understanding. But some of the videos are just too much sweet Hollywood and therefore nearly without any values for the work in Germany. For example, Our Father's Plan. On the other hand, How Rare a Possession is a very useful tool in missionary work, especially the second part, the story of Vincenzo di Francesca, because it is a European story. As a European story, it is touching on an emotional level in a degree that is not possible for an American story. This gap in artistic expression is diminished because there is a tradition of American movie and television in Germany that makes the environment at least superficially familiar and the art not so strange. But in this tradition of American movie lies a danger as well. Usually low-quality productions from the States are shown in Germany, and that causes a feeling and expectation of low-quality message in the spectator, as he is confronted with American environment and American artistic expression in a presentation. Unconsciously, people form the equation American equals trash. At least for some time, we will have to live with American art in the German-speaking areas of the church. There are not so many artists among the 50,000 members, and to create an own artistic line for so few people is just too expensive and impossible in some ways. For the touching videos, the actors have to be members of the more important roles. There are only a few German and Austrian actors who are members of the church. Art always must have a market. No artist can live without selling his or her products. The market is very small. Not many members are interested in art, and many have no money for it. So Mormon artists have to work for the world outside the church and cannot make their living with Mormon art. Of course, an artist can work after his desires without earning money by his art. The artists in the church simply have no time to do so very much because their time is consumed by family and church calling. Obedience. Out of their tradition, Germans are a very obedient people with a tendency to take every word of their leader like an unchangeable law. This obedience is strongest in the northern part of Germany and softens towards the south, being much milder in Austria. Obedience in this form tends to find out the desire of the president and to act accordingly. There is no room for own initiatives. As already stated, in early years, all the leadership was in the hands of the Americans, who led the branches and districts and missions according to their understanding and according to their traditions. The German leaders, working under their direction, wanted to be loyal and obedient. So they accepted suggestions from their American leaders, even if they were contrary to the German way of life. Of course, there are some aspects of the tradition that are not in agreement with the gospel, sometimes traditions with a high social impact. So Germans and Austrians have special events with entertainment on Sundays. In rural areas, it is a tradition for centuries to have a yearly market on that day. It is a tradition for the men to sit together after church discussing politics and business, drinking beer or wine. That, for instance, are traditions that have to be left. So many local leaders thought, if we have to leave these traditions, maybe we have to leave others too, like bearing traditional clothing during church meetings. This lack of sensibility, which tradition really contradicts the gospel and which tradition is a harmless manifestation of a people's own character, led to a loss of culture in the church in Germany and Austria. The American leaders did not know about these things, so they could not give detailed instruction of Mosaic character, and the local leaders wanted to be obedient and were obedient to far-reaching, destroying the beginning of a special German Mormon culture, Americanizing too much in the church. Obedience has a far-reaching effect on Mormon literature in Germany. The major part of the 50,000 members only wants to read books written by general authorities. Mormon literature as art is not so accepted. This is very obvious every year when LDS Books, a publisher who publishes translations of specific Mormon literature, asks its members to select the works to be published the following year. Highest votes are for books by general authorities, lowest for fiction. Many members mistrust German LDS authors. Anything that does not come through the line of authority is suspect to them. If it is German, it cannot be originated in the proper authorities. If it is American, there is a higher probability of authenticity, they argue. 50,000 members, more than half of them suspicious towards German LDS productions. This is not a good position for a specific German production of LDS literature. So if we want LDS literature to have literature, we have to look to the States for the next years, maybe even decades. Another problem is caused by this strict obedience. By some members, even leaders, only activities are accepted and supported if they are approved by the area presidency. So many private initiatives that could enrich social and cultural life of the church members are suffocated. So especially in the intellectual area, we still have to look to America and are barely able to develop our own way of cultural life. Some suggestions for the future. First of all, the members in Austria and Germany must be aware of their local heritage. It is important to preserve and the knowledge of our old pioneers. OHG, that is the Orsenheide Gesellschaft, tries to initiate a movement to write down and to publish the uplifting stories of the lonely pioneers in the cities of Middle Europe. For the leaders, it is important to encourage the local leaders to find their own ways, at the same time paying attention that no essential doctrine is twisted or lost. That means that everyone invested with authority in the church has to study the gospel and to ponder about the purpose of the church, to pray and to meditate, that he finds out what is really gospel of the Lord and what is mere man-made ornament. The responsibility to open the way for special local ideas and policies lies with the general authorities. Maybe sometimes they will not agree with harmless deviations because they feel American, but very often they will not agree with apparently harmless deviations because by the Spirit they see that they are not harmless. On the other hand, the authorities generally encourage cultural diversity. For us in the German-speaking countries, it is important to create our own Mormon culture. A modest beginning are different symposia organized by stakes or individuals. Those are chances to exchange about philosophical problems between member and world, about church life and other important subjects. For this, we hope to get more support because it consumes much time to prepare such a meeting. A publication like Betrachtungen is another chance for members to exchange their feelings and thoughts freely. Former attempts to create such a paper publication after the pattern of Sunstone or Dialogue were never successful because there were not enough people interested in it. I hope Betrachtungen will survive and contribute to the diversity of Mormon culture in Central Europe. Conferences of young adults are another chance to find ways for a special German Mormon culture. There are tendencies that look encouraging. In all these attempts, there lies a great danger. As the peculiar people of the Lord, we cannot copy the ways of the world. All the contentions in the academic world, as in the world as a whole, shall not be found in Mormon events and papers. Love each other is one of the most important commandments. All that we do has to be in love, and when we disagree, we have to do so in an agreeable manner. We have to be aware of the differences between our professional or academic environment and our environment as the people of the Lord, even if it is academic. We have to overcome some conventions that grew out of historic necessities, and we must leave the old tracks. That is true for American as well as for Germans. If we do so, we will have a special Mormon culture that is worldwide, but has many specific attributes in every country, in every culture.
Well, we have a few minutes for comments, for personal experiences. If any of you have something to share or questions, you feel comfortable fielding questions. Okay. Come on down.
Peter, my question is about the relationships between the servicemen stakes in Germany and the German wards and branches there. I'm an Army brat, and I graduated from high school, from Munich American High School. And my parents had been stationed when I was in preschool in Neu-Ulm. And their feeling was that when they were, and that was in the 70s, in Neu-Ulm, in a smaller branch, there were all sorts of activities between the Germans and the Americans, the German branch and the American branch. But in Munich, I think in the 3 years that I was there, we did maybe one evening of activities with the Germans. And they far outnumbered us. We shared a ward house, but there was just one American ward, and I think three American wards in Munich, two chapels. And I'm just wondering if that's typical of a trend, or if it's a moot point because so many servicemen are moving out because of the changes and all, or if you think that's just kind of the area, whatever.
Well, I appreciate your comment. Some of you came in late, and you should realize I'm not Peter. I just received this paper a short moment ago, and I was trying to correct the typos and do some editing as I was reading it. But I do have, I don't know how much sense I have for that. You indeed have more, having been there recently. I'm really a resident and a citizen of Canada, although I have some German background. Indeed, it might be a moot point because I think in your country, I think President Bush reduced it down to 100,000, if I'm not mistaken. So there still will be about 100,000 servicemen left in Germany, whereas the Soviet Union, Russia now, has pulled all of them out as of this year, this summer.
So when did you
left? 2 months ago, but more on an academic and personal mission rather than looking for things within the church like this.
There's much I would like to discuss with you, but I'll ask this question. While I was at the Germany reunion just Saturday at Orem, I heard that there has been quite a number of excommunications in the church in Germany. Are you aware of this? All right, I won't pursue that, but I just heard it and didn't have a chance to pursue it, but we'll find out when I go to Germany. I'll be in Germany most of the rest of the year. I came back to the States in 1988 after operating a business and teaching in the overseas schools, although that's not what I went over for. But we were business people, and our circumstance and situation was very different. But the downsizing of the military is impacting tremendously. high schools are closing, and one of my tasks in this organization for the Wiesbaden High School Association is to write a history of the Wiesbaden High School, which was the first high school established by the Americans during the occupation. If there are some of the rest of you here who would like to talk or who are over there at any time, I'd love to talk with you. I enjoyed your paper very much, and I am going to get a tape of it.
I'm in a strange position. I don't know to what degree I am at liberty to mention all sorts of things which are in my heart. I was not beforehand, but I think it's at least interesting that these two comments have emphasized what I think was in the paper, is the strong American influence among the Germans in general and the German Latter-day Saints specifically, and that is bound to have some repercussions, and I think that's what he tried to bring out in his paper, and those repercussions are indeed not all positive, because also we within the church bring a lot of the Coca-Cola culture over to these foreign countries, and that indeed is not positive. Well, of course. Yes, come on up.
Most of you probably know me. I was in Deutschland, of course, when der Führer and Roosevelt were exchanging insults. We left on the 31st of August, 1909, in Dreisich, incidentally. I came out over Polish Quarter on the next to last train. We had a mission president who encouraged us to investigate and participate in all of the German culture. Go to the museum. He insisted that we take the time from our missionary work to visit the museums and all the other places that the people thought important. And as far as I'd like to know what the contacts, I suspect that some of these videos that they use now for missionary contact, we got what little videos we had approved by the Gestapo, and then we went out tracting till that was forbidden. So then we had members' introduction cards to get around that. It was an interesting time. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I probably know some of the old pioneers, really, when I come to think about it.
Yes, sir, certainly come up and see me and get the address, you know. A thought came to me as you were mentioning something about being encouraged to go to German culture and events. It's really a very complex and a new problem. What is German culture? Because the German culture within the German scene is eroding quickly for a number of reasons. One is because of the cultural imperialism of America after the war. Also because of what is happening to our society in general, somehow disintegration of art, so the end of art, modernity, post-modernity, what is it anyways? Then the phenomenon of Europe coming together. The second largest Turkish city in the world is Berlin. You know, so you have a disintegration of what is German culture anyways, and it could be a very complicated issue, I'm sure, and I don't think we should go too much further into that, but indeed that is another aspect of it.
I'm just curious if you'd have comment from your experiences in Germany or friends or family who are there currently. It seems to me the last several years that a lot of the conference addresses or other material that's been given by the general authorities, a lot of the things have dealt with some specifically American-type problems that the general authorities see. R-rated movies we get talked about all the time. legalized abortion, women, mothers working outside of the home, pornography, that kind of thing. It seems like a lot of this is a uniquely American or maybe North American problem, and I'm curious as to how the saints, especially in Europe, perceive if they see these kinds of things, or if they're kind of frustrated that so much time is spent on these, or if maybe I'm just off base.
Well, I think it's a very good observation, and the problem does exist, and Mormons abroad do have to come to terms with making a decision accordingly, whether it is something they should follow because it comes down from the head of the church, or if they should somehow reinterpret it within a cultural context. And I just talked to some members in East Germany a couple of months ago who are putting it into the context of, well, that's really American. We've been there two or three times. And to use the metaphors which have been going around for a couple of decades within our circles, they are more liahonas than iron rods, I suppose. But yes, so you do get some Mormons, though. I don't know what the percentage would be, but I don't mingle with them that much, obviously, because I reside on this half of the Atlantic, but that very same question has occurred to me. Because the whole idea of pornography or whatever is just so much more infiltrated. The beach where I was baptized is today open to the public to clothe however they want to. You know, it's just so very openly accepted. In Munich, you can walk through the streets and just look down to the Isar River banks, and they're walking around and lying there in the nude, you know. So how the Mormon response to these newer, more open situations, I really am not sure.
I don't remember the young man's name that was at during World War II was executed, the White Rose movement, I think that is, Huebner. And I'm just wondering, is that fertile ground for you know, the Mormon, German Mormon, you know, heroes or pioneers, whatever Peter was talking about in his papers? I mean, does that provide that sort of example, or does it come up in Sunday school stories? Or
how much time do we have? I don't want to get into a long tangent on this, but the White Rose is the Scholl brothers and sisters in Munich, which you have heard about. This is the Hübner group from Hamburg, I think that you're alluding to, who were LDS. Yeah, and there was a German author by the name of Günter Grass who actually mentioned these people in one of his novels called Örtlich Betäubt, or Local Anesthetics. And this was around the Vietnam days, and I happened to be studying at Brigham Young University at the time, and some of the Germanists in the group read this by Günter Grass and wondered, who are these people? Who is this Helmut Hübner? And so there has been some research done, and I think things have been published in both Dialogue and Sunstone. Right, right. And the last remaining individual is Karl-Heinz Schnibbe, who is alive and well in Salt Lake, if I'm not mistaken. And in fact, I'd like to get to meet him during these few days I'm here. His cohort, Wobbe, I think, died just... Right, right, yeah. I don't think, though, that this is what he was referring to. He's really referring to those pioneers who had great many obstacles, and there was a great deal of persecution. And a little bit of a Bible Belt goes through the southern part of East Germany, and I've attended some meetings there. And indeed, these are pioneers. These people were born in the church. They have as much of a Mormon heritage as many of you do on this side of the Atlantic. So I think that's what he's referring to. And then, of course, as clearly mentioned, is having to endure the Nazi era with its persecution and forced ideology, and then 40 years of communism in the GDR, German Democratic Republic. And all sorts of stories would come out of those times, and they should be fostered, and I very much applaud this particular society which he has started up.
I'm just interested if you or anyone here would know about any good books or publications about the history of the German saints. I'm aware of Gilbert Sharpe's book, which came out, I think, in the 70s, which is a little bit dated and not all that specific. It's very general. But if anyone's aware of any publications or books, I'd certainly be interested. And also this Orson Hyde Gesellschaft, does that publish anything?
I'm sorry, I can't give you any information on that. I don't know how old the Orson Hyde Gesellschaft is. We'll have to get in contact with Peter to find out about that. Yeah.
Thanks so much to all of you for coming. Thanks very much to our reader. And here's the address if you're interested in contacting Peter.